Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
I'm Hannah Rosen, and I'm host of the Double X Gab Fest. Every episode, I'm joined by Noreen Malone and June Thomas, people I would talk to all day if I could. We talk about how the world is changing for women and men, at work, online, at home, and on the street. It's not a lecture. It's the conversation you want to have with your friends. Join us. So subscribe now where you get your podcasts at itunes.com/panoply.
The following podcast contains explicit language.
Hi, this is Josh Levine, and this is Slate's sports podcast, Hang Up and Listen. We've got another episode for you this week. You listened to the best of Hang Up and Listen bonus segments earlier. And now we're going to give you a little taste of the live show that we did this week in New York. If you want the full Slate Superfest live show, you can get that in the Culture Gabfest podcast feed in iTunes. You can also get it in the Slate Plus feed if you're a Slate Plus member, or the Slate Daily podcast feed. But if you just want to listen to the Hang Up and Listen segment because you're a Hang Up and Listen fan, and who among us isn't, then we've got it for you right here. Mike, Stefan, and I talked about the recent revelations of a systematic doping program in Russia, what it means for the 2016 Olympics, what it says about drugs and sports, and I hope you enjoy it. Here it is.
Let's go on to our third segment. Now, I pitched these guys a lot of topics for tonight. The glorious legacy of Dean Smith, why there will definitely be no sanctions against the UNC basketball team, is Mike Krzyzewski actually literally physically a giant rat? But they went their own way. God love them. They chose something else. Please welcome Josh Levine, Mike Pesca, and Stefan Fatsis. Hang up and listen.
Hello, everyone. So every week on our show, we do something called Whimsy Watch. And instead of just doing a regular segment, we're going to devote our entire time to whimsy.
It's be whimsical. It's weird. I was just overcome by this weird urge to visit New York. I don't know why. I can't deny the urge.
You've been transported there magically by the technology of podcasting. So my Whimsy Watch this week, it's a search for whimsy in the NFL, the least whimsical entity on earth. A running back for the Washington football team, Stefan, you said you didn't hear about this. He found $15 on the field. It was Matt Jones. It was by his teammate, Pierre Garçon. He finds the $15 at the beginning of the second half. He asks Pierre, is this yours? He says no. They decided to share it. Might be the most whimsical moment we've ever done.
Couple follow-ups. Does that violate the salary cap? If that was the NCAA, would it be an illegal benefit? Could he use the money to buy Pierre Garçon on FanDuel or RotoWire because Pierre Garçon has sued those sites?
The little-known addendum to that is that Dan Snyder asked for the $750 back.
Whimsy, Mike?
Well, a little later on, Dana and John are going to interview some of the actors from Hamilton. So my Whimsy Watch concerns Hamilton, the Hamilton Tiger Cats of the CFL. Jeremiah Masoquai?
Masoli.
The incredibly corrupt CFL, Mike?
Yeah.
This podcast is a guerrilla marketing campaign for Canadian football.
At playing at Tim Horton Field. He threw two interceptions, was benched, not because of performance, but the coach said so he could clear his head. Good that mental health time coincided with a strong desire not to have any more turnovers. But the Ham Tiger Cats came back, won the game, and they face the Red and Blacks in the Eastern Final. Can either of you guys tell me what team are the Red Blacks? I'll give you a hint. In French, it's Rouge et Noir.
Stefan?
the Alouettes?
No, it's the Ottawa Red Blacks.
Ottawa. The Ottawa Red
Montreal
Blacks.
The Alouettes.
Yes.
The answer was Ottawa. Stefan?
There was also, speaking of Canadian football, because who doesn't, there was an 88-yard rouge in the CFL over the weekend. I don't know if you knew that.
Wow.
Does anyone know what a rouge is?
I think we're out of time. Should we go to our segment?
Let's go to our segment.
All right. The World Anti-Doping Agency released a report last week documenting an enormous state-sponsored Russian track and field doping conspiracy, a program that WADA compared to the old Soviet Union system. The international governing body of track and field, the IAAF, responded by suspending every Russian track and field athlete from competition immediately, an act that Russian hurdler Sergei Shubenkov says is very unfair. He compared it to being in kindergarten and having every kid punished because someone pooed in the wrong place. He actually said that. Some specific allegations from the report, as well as from a German documentary. Marathon champion paid the Russian Federation $550,000 to cover up a positive doping test. The head of the testing lab destroyed more than 1,400 drug tests right after WADA asked for them, which is rude. And Russia's state security service embedded inside the drug testing lab and intimidated the engineers. So, Stefan, we've talked about doping before. Kind of jaded response is, what's new here? Why should we care? Is there something new and different? And should we care about what Russia's doing?
Yeah, we should care about what Russia's doing because of the scope of it and because of the sheer embeddedness of this in the Russian government and in the geopolitics of international sports. Look at who we said were the most corrupt organizations on the planet. I mean, the NFL, obviously. But beyond that, IOC and FIFA. This is an interconnected network of sportocrats. These bureaucrats all sit on each other's boards and executive committees. The Russian sports minister is on the executive committee of FIFA. Surprise, surprise. The head of the track federation, Sebastian Coe, the great English middle distance runner. He is also on FIFA's. He was the head of ethics on FIFA, for FIFA. He just took over the track federation, so his job is to clean it up. But we should care because it is reminiscent of not just the Cold War and the Soviet era, but of what the Soviet Union did, but of particularly East Germany and also of China in the 1990s in swimming and other sports. This is endemic in international sports.
I say we should care because it's the biggest scandal in the history of sports, in my opinion. Literally, the Russians, they might be able to weasel their way out of this, or as they say in Russian, to Kodiak Bear their way out of this, but they will not be, their track athletes will not be allowed to compete in the 2016 Olympics.
Maybe.
There were, right now, that's what's on the books. There were 100 Russian track athletes. There were more Russian track athletes in London than any country but the US and the UK. And I say it's the worst scandal in the history of sports because scandals that are things like person associated with sports does something terrible, like Ray Rice or Aaron Hernandez, is that really so much sports? So to find the worst scandal, you have to go to one that affects winning and losing. And so you have things like throwing the World Series in 1919, terrible scandal, one sport, one team. You have things like the East Germans, or you have things like the Tour de France, but it was endemic in the sport. But that's cycling. This is track and field. This is 100 athletes who were doping. The amount of cheating was they had a shadow lab. So you have the real lab, and then you had a Russian lab pre-testing the samples and then eventually throwing 1,400.
Did they have the shadow lab hidden behind a bookcase
Where you pulled the book and it flipped around?
Yes, and a little statue of the guy's head, and then there was... But this is, I mean, this we are so jaded that maybe we don't realize it. And I know the New York Times put it on their front page, but I've been looking at the sports section. You know, the last 2 days, they haven't had anything on it. This is gigantic. There are going to be other countries. There are going to be other sports. One of the reasons why Dick Pound, who put together this investigation, he wanted all of cycling out of the Olympics, and the other sports said no. Guess why? Because track's dirty. Guess what else is dirty? I know biathlon's dirty. There are so many countries and so many sports that are cheating that I don't even know if you can have an Olympics.
Oh. So my favorite kind of detail, and there are a lot of good ones besides that, even that pooping anecdote, the race walking federation in Russia is incredibly dirty. So three race walkers have already been suspended. The coach has been suspended. And one of the actual, you know, effects of this, they might not be able to get in the Olympics, but Russia was going to host the race walking team championships.
Yes.
That has been canceled.
Yeah.
It's going to cost the Russian economy tens of rubles. It's going to devastate their already hurting economy. Stefan, can we compare this to the American way of doping?
Let me just say walking is hard and it looks ridiculous. So I think every race walker that is slighted by this is doubly... affected. He's doubly hurt. I think this is terrible.
They give their sprinters performance-enhancing drugs to slow them down to become champion race walkers.
That's right.
Exactly.
That's right. But before I get to the Americans, we laugh about the race walking world championships being held in Russia, but the complicity of all of these international organizations is that we keep giving these events to Russia, the World Cup, the Sochi Olympics, the race walking championships. The race walking championships.
That wasn't part of a package deal?
It's not a package
deal. That was for own race walking.
The Olympics in China. There are so few countries that want to host these events that we have now gotten to the point that these autocratic regimes are the ones that are willing to spend the money. And when they're willing to spend the money, what else are they willing to do in order to win? They're willing to enact these systemic, widespread doping systems where athletes are coerced into taking drugs, they are forced, and then if they dissent, they are punished.
You can't have been a Russian track athlete and probably a lot of other sports without being part of this. This was by far an open secret. Experts would look at the list of Russian athletes and the times in Russia would be, you know, near world record times. And they would say, yeah, but this meets in China. Yeah, but this meets in Germany. They won't be able to take their drugs. This was so known. And you want to talk about other shoes to drop. I mean, what are the chances, really, that the fastest man in the world, the second fastest man in the world, the fastest woman in the world, and the third fastest woman in the world are all from the same Caribbean nation of 2 million? And the Jamaicans...
Wow.
The Jamaicans...
Throwing the gauntlet down.
I mean, the Kenyans are about to be busted left and right. So many of the countries that we say, oh, Kenyan's great at marathoning, Jamaican's great at sprinting... You don't want to make the charge without the proof. However,
he just did.
It really, you could either be naive or you could say, you know, is it that they love racing so much? What, they didn't love it 12 years ago? Now all of a sudden you have this generation of, and oh, no other country runs like the Jamaican sprint. I mean, I really do think if they did drug testing, everyone that we... 50% of the people that we think are heroes would be cheats.
I'm going to push back on this a little bit because here in the United States of America, great country, but we're a little bit hypocritical about this. Travis Tigert, the CEO of the U.S. Anti-Doping, just comes off as a huge dick. Like, he says, evidence released today demonstrates a shocking level of corruption, sends a clear message to Russia that they'll not be allowed to cheat the world's athletes and escape justice behind a wall of deception and lies.
Yeah.
This is the country that produced Marion Jones, Justin Gatlin, Tyson Gay. But the thing that I find interesting is that the U.S. system of doping, and you can't kind of make too much of a conclusion based on the people who get caught because maybe they're the ones who are doing a really bad job at it, but it's just so ad hoc. And it seems like with Tyson Gay, David Epstein of ProPublica...
We need to be more organized the way that Russia and China and other countries are.
We need a shadow lab.
David Epstein did this report on Tyson Gay, and it's like he heard that some guy in the NFL was going to see a chiropractor in Atlanta who had cream in a tube that, like, the doctor didn't even know what it was. There's not even any indication that the stuff works, and they still get caught using it. So
well, that's because
it's, I like mean, a very entrepreneurial, capitalistic way of cheating
it's
badly.
The American way of doping.
Those rumors, like, those rumors, by the way, are why I got stuck with oregano at Washington Square Park that one time. Okay, so let's say people in the audience are saying...
What you got the two-minute warning, by
yeah,
the way.
Yeah, let's say people in the audience are saying, what can we do about it? You know, this is sports. There's nothing
Nobody's
we can do.
Saying that, but go ahead.
The World Anti-Doping Agency's budget is about $25 million. Joe Johnson of the Brooklyn Nets salary is $25 million. If you're not a sports fan, he's kind of a mediocre basketball player. If you're a sports fan, you probably didn't know this, but Joe Johnson's a mediocre basketball player. We're totally unserious about catching cheats if we fund this. IOC's kind of rich. A lot of these countries are kind of rich. We fund it to the tune this pittance. You know, this is why it's a joke, because the countries and the federations want it to be a joke.
Well, Russia threatened to pull its, like, several hundred thousand dollars of funding for anti-doping.
Well, with the fall of oil, what can you expect?
So, Stefan, the head of the IOC, Thomas Bach, already kind of undermined the punishment, basically saying they're going to get everything in order for the Olympics. I have a lot of faith in the Russians. So do you think that this is going to change anything in Russia? Do you think that we'll be able to overcome our jadedness and something will happen?
Let me quote Vladimir Putin. A sporting contest is only interesting when it is honest, said the man who scores 10 goals a game when he plays ice hockey against professionals during exhibitions. I'm not terribly optimistic that anything will change practically in Russia, but what will change is that they will do enough and they will say enough so that the IOC and the reformed International Track Federation can say to themselves, we have cleaned things up, it is time to let Russia back into the fold and welcome them back into the Olympic community, the family.
Russia,
and that's what's going to happen.
Russia in the 2016 Olympics, Russia track athletes, yes or no? Yes,
definitely,
or no?
Definitely yes.
Duh.
A good way to end. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
All right, thanks. Hang up and listen.
That was the Hang Up and Listen segment from the Slate Superfest live show. Again, if you want to listen to the whole show, and there's some more Pesca, Fatsis, and Levine in there, go to the Slate Daily Podcast feed. You can get it at the Slate Culture Gabfest feed, or you can get it at the Slate Plus feed if you're a Slate Plus member. We'd love your feedback on what we talked about. You can email us at hangup@slate.com. We'll also gather links to the stories we discussed at slate.com/hangup. Subscribe to Hang Up and Listen in iTunes. You can find us by going to itunes.com/slatepodcasts. And when you're there, please leave us a comment and a rating. Become a fan of Hang Up and Listen on Facebook at facebook.com/hangupandlisten. Our producer is Zach Dinerstein, and the executive producer of Slate's podcast is Andy Bowers. Hang Up and Listen is part of the Panoply Network. Check out our entire roster of podcasts at itunes.com/panoply. Remember Zelmo Beatty, and thanks for listening.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.